This conference is being recorded.
Well, hello, and welcome.
Somebody's got a fax thing going on.
That's a fax line, yeah. So if the person doesn't hang up, we're going to have to, unfortunately, mute everyone on the call, including guests. So, sounds like that got handled. Thank you for care of that. And welcome. Interesting. That strange noise would begin our call about music. Music of the heart, so sound, right, is so important to all of us. And you see how sounds can be grating on your nerves and sounds can therefore produce stress, right, like the fax machine sound or the fingernails on a chalkboard sound. And they can also promote enormous healing and harmony and well-being and insight and creativity and inspiration. And that's what we're going to explore tonight, is the power of music as it relates to the heart and its impact to heal our lives, to enhance our relationships, our performance work, and our just full-out appreciation of the gift of life that we've been given. My name is Sheva. I'm the CEO and head trainer of a company called, or maybe the heart trainer, so to speak, of a company called Sierra. Sierra is sponsoring this free call for you tonight, and if you're listening live, I encourage you to press *6, which will mute your phone, so that your background noise will not be... At a certain point, we will open up the call for your questions and you the stories that you might like to share of your own. And if you're listening to this call as an archived recording, you can also send your questions, your stories to us. We love hearing from you via email, info@sierra.com. Or you can call us at 310-581-1507. And for those listening live who are not aware of the archived recordings of what these heart starts to your week calls are, you can access dozens and dozens of these calls. You can download them straight onto your iPod. We know of people that like to paint to them or hike to them or do all kinds of things. By going to Sierra.com/heartstart.html, and that's heartstart all one word. And we run these calls once a week to introduce you to what Sierra is and to bring more Sierra into your life and into your home. What is Sierra? Sierra, first and foremost, is a word that was created to describe a feeling that is of benefit to your body, your mind, your emotions, your loved ones, your work. Sierra is when you feel so well, so good inside yourself that everything in life just seems to flow harmoniously, and even the challenges are seen as opportunities rather than obstacles, and you manage to suss out the gift in everything rather than the difficulty, if you will. That's one way to describe Sierra. Our technical definition of Sierra is that great feeling you get when your arms fly up over your head and a yes to life flies out of your mouth. But the truth is, Sierra doesn't have to be that high energy exuberance. It certainly can be. It can also be a great peace or genuine compassion or care for someone else or for yourself. Sierra is a spectrum of feel-great feeling, if you will, that includes meeting difficult life situations, but from the heart. And it turns out that that feeling of Sierra has something to do with the heart. Licensed by an institute called HeartMath, here at Sierra, what we do is we are a training company that teaches people how to tap into the intelligence and order in the heart, the intrinsic intelligence in your heart. There's been a brain that has been discovered in the heart itself, like a GPS that if you knew how to turn on and tap into, would guide you to tell you which way to go for your maximum fulfillment in life. And that GPS, that intelligence, is not just intellectual or verbal. It doesn't just talk to you. It's also physiological, such that when you feel these good feelings, which we're categorizing as Sierra, feelings like joy or passion or love or care or compassion, peace, it has a heart rhythm. It produces a uniquely ordered pattern in the heart's rhythm. And that ordered pattern in the heart's rhythm then has system-wide impact on all the rest of your body and your mind. It changes the way your nervous system works. It changes the way your hormones work. It changes the way your immune system works. It changes the way your brain works. So you actually measurably perceive life differently and respond more acutely, more effectively. And that then changes your outcomes in life, your performance at work, your relationships, your fulfillment. And so at Sierra, we train people how to access that feel-good feeling and all the benefits it brings in a step-by-step process developed by researchers at HeartMath, a process that has been trained to physicians and nurses and physicists and high-level performers all over the world. And now Sierra is here to bring it to you. And it is our Sierra to do so. We absolutely have such a great time here. I really love it. And welcome you into the process. Was somebody wanting to say something, or is that just background?
Laura?
Hello, welcome. You might want to star six your phone to mute out any background noise while we're getting underway here.
Thank you. I'm sorry for being late.
Welcome. We started these free Monday night check-ins as a desire to really literally live our mission, which is to bring more Sierra into the world and more specifically to bring more Sierra to you. And so, forgive me, you can hear I'm getting over a little cold here. As we tap into that intelligence in the heart, it has a wide spectrum impact on every area of human endeavor. And so these calls each Monday night are also an opportunity for us to explore with our community, all of you, how the heart moves in different realms and arenas of our lives. And tonight we're going to explore a topic that is very close to my heart and my soul, music and the heart. And I have no doubt that my passion for Sierra and for heart and for the kind of immediate understanding at a visceral level that I got when I first came upon the HeartMath research that, oh my God, this makes so much sense. Heart rhythms are like the conductor of our orchestra. And when our heart rhythm is making music, then our life becomes this grand symphony. And when our heart rhythm is chaotic, then our life is like a horror movie because the heart rhythm is the soundtrack to our life. It's the rhythm that we perceive everything that happens to us through. The unfoldment, the events of life are like the film we're watching, but the rhythm that we perceive them through internally is the soundtrack. And it's a fun thing to do. I really encourage everyone listening to go and rent a love movie, like a romantic comedy, and a horror film. And watch the romantic comedy with the horror film soundtrack playing. And it will teach you how your stress is definitely not your circumstances. It's your perception of and your reaction to your circumstances. And what that does in the body, over 1,400 things in the body that have this reaction. And so the soundtrack is so pivotal to the color and flavor and texture of a film. And similarly, the soundtrack to your life, the rhythm internally that you're perceiving and responding to life through, is crucial to the experience of your life and its outcome. And that comes from the heart. And of course, the heart is going to respond to music. My mother is a musician, a very successful one. She was a concert pianist and taught piano while she was pregnant with me. So music has been there for me, the rhythm of life, inception. And I was trained as a classical musician when I was a child, voice and flute and piano, and I was a ballet dancer, and I hated any modern music. I just had zero tolerance for it. It was quite a surprise to me when I became a heart math trainer that one of the first groups of people I filled into working with by total accident were celebrity rock stars and their bands on tour. So my first year in practice, I got to tour with some pretty wild people, and it opened up my eyes to a whole new experience of what music was about, and I attended my first rock concert backstage. Hadn't ever been to one as a teenager, and got to taste the magic of music and how it unites people because it entrains them in the heart. When you get a whole room of people, hearts are beating in rhythm together, in the joy and appreciation of the same music, whatever that music is, literally you can see that their hearts will beat as one heart. You can actually even see this with disparate heart cells, different people's hearts in one petri dish. They start to unify, and they beat as if they're one heart. So that song with the lyric, two hearts that beat as one, not just a romantic ideal, it's a true scientific fact. That in fact the heart can be a place of connection and unity among all of us. And as I worked with these celebs in the music industry, I became so deeply touched by how connected they were to that mission. And that even the wildest heavy metal or out there singers were really invested that their music was a focal point or an opportunity for unification of human beings, for people to see each other as they really are, to see each other through the eyes of the heart, which this order in an individual or in a group heart rhythm can produce, a change in perception where you see literally through the eyes of love. And that has beneficial impact, not just on our relations with one another, which is profound, but also in our physical bodies. We can measure improvements in immunity, enhancement to functioning of the higher centers of the brain, and on and on and on it goes. And so when I met Mark Romero, who is our guest speaker for tonight, I'm just so thrilled. Thank you so much for being here with us tonight, Mark. I met Mark at a lecture that I was giving, a keynote speech, at the Law of Attraction Center. And Mark was the musician for the evening, and I was the speaker for the evening. And we were already just singing harmony. His music and the words that I was sharing were exactly in tune, because Mark has keyed into this incredible healing potential of music and had to go through his own journey of reaccessing his heart's GPS to line up with this passion of his and make it his life's work. And thankfully, he's done that now so he can share that with all of us. And I want to open up the call, Mark, for you to dive in here. Thank you for being here tonight with us.
My pleasure. Thank you for having me.
Yeah. How would you like to start? Do you want to start by sharing your music, or do you want to speak a little bit about your experience first?
Well, maybe I'll share a little bit of a story behind it of how, you know, stepping into music came to be, and then I'd love to share a piece and take people through a little process.
Beautiful.
It'd be great. So, It's interesting that I joke in my talks and I tell people, well, you know, I'm a recovered corporaholic, and it's been 6 years since I had my last sip of the corporate experience, so to speak. Excuse me. I'm kind of getting over a little something also, so you and me together. I was 19 years in the semiconductor business, and I gone for a couple years of college way back when in the early 80s, and really kind of had determined that college wasn't for me, so I decided to go to work, and somehow I ended up in the high-tech arena in the semiconductor business and worked my way up the corporate ladder, did all the things, you know. So I had this picture put upon me by society and by my parents, especially my father, who really set the example that, you know, us, we grow up, we get a job, we work our way up the corporate ladder, so to speak, and, you know, we get the house and do all these things and be successful and get married and have children, and then we'll be happy and content. And this was kind of the model that was presented certainly to myself and certainly to many of us. Because I didn't have any other model to compare it to, I decided, okay, what a great model. So I started entry level and worked my way up the corporate ladder and eventually got into customer service and just really found my home, which was in sales. And then, of course, with every salesman, what do they want to do when they're good at what they do? They want to make them become a sales manager. And worked my executive management and finally reached a point in my experience where I'm like going, okay, there's only one rung left in the ladder, and that was being an owner of a company and starting my own business. So it was me and the dog day one. I decided to start my own company, and so the dog and I started day one and started to build a company. And over the course of 5 years, I had built a $15 million a year business and had just done, you know, extremely well as far as from a revenue, from making money standpoint. But over the course of those 5 years, I started having these feelings of discontent, where before I was very excited about doing what I was doing and just really thriving in sales. Over the course of those last 5 years, I started getting these almost like reverberations of just like, wait a second, you know what, I've done all this. Where's, you know, how come I'm not feeling fulfilled? How come I'm not feeling satisfied with my life experience? I had played the game the way society had said to play the game. You know, I'm making more money than I ever thought. I had a home. I had a shiny car. I'm like, when I've done everything that I'm supposed to do, why am I still not happy? Why am I still not fulfilled? And these were the questions that I had started asking in this experience. Now, over the course of that time, I'd always played music. And I started playing music in 1980. I went to go see Pink Floyd, The Wall, in 1980, and that inspired me to play guitar. And it had always been interwoven in everything that I had done, but it was kind of just a hobby and something I did in the safety of my bedroom. So as I reached this point, I was married and very newly married, and I came home one night. My wife is a master of this, and I'm sure some of us who have significant others know that they can just give us the look, and they know that they're going to give us some information that's just going to probably not be something we want to hear, but yet it's going to be very profound. And I came home one night, and my wife caught me in the hallway, and this was just after it was late. It was after a long day's work. And she said, you know what? I don't care how much money you're making. I look in your eyes, and you're dead. When are you going to have the courage to pursue your dream? And I wanted to argue with her so bad, but I knew that she was right. And I tried to argue with her, but of course it was my attempts were fruitless, because she was right. She hit it right on the head. My life was failing. You know, I had the millionaire mind, but I had the $5 physical health, and worse yet, I had the 5-cent spirit. And I knew that I needed to make a change or I was going to check out early, because it was a very high-pressure, very intense business that I was in, and it was just very stressful. And I wasn't happy, and there was no thrill in it anymore. So I kind of realized that, well, I'm not getting any younger, and I was, you know, 39, 40 years old at the time, and I decided I'm going to take the leap of faith. I'm going to make the jump, and I'm going to go for it, because ever since I was 4 years old, as the farthest back I can remember, I wanted to gain wisdom about life. And I wanted to share that wisdom with others to help them tap into their magnificence and their unlimited potential to create phenomenal results for themselves, to create a phenomenal life for themselves. And I had other dreams, too. I'd always wanted to make a full production CD and express myself musically more than I had. And so I decided, okay, I'm going for it. So I walked away from a multi-million dollar business. I went in and told my partners, I'm leaving. I'm done. They thought I was absolutely crazy. They recommended that I went and go and get psychological care. So how can you walk away from a multi-million dollar business? You know, you're at the top of the game. How could you walk away? You're going to regret it. All the stories that came to be, but yet I knew that I had to do so. And little did I know that I was beginning the purification process, so to speak. I joke and I say this, you know, I never thought I had an ego until I realized I had an ego. And over the course of that time, life, universe, God got a chance to work with me and say, okay, we're going to start preparing you for what it is that you're stepping into. And I had never experienced an issue where I had not been able to create phenomenal results in any aspect of my work in anything more than 3 months. Well, 3 months came and went after walking away, and still I was still trying to find my path. 6 months came and went, a year came and went. Eventually, I'm heading towards 2 years, and I'm getting paranoid because, you know, my family had expanded. We had my first daughter. I was still caught up with the story that I was the provider, and I was the one that was going to make things happen. And that was a learning lesson there in itself. And I remember one night, it was around Easter time, we were watching The Ten Commandments, you know, and I love that movie, The Ten Commandments. It's the only movie I know that you can go to sleep at night and wake up in the morning and it's still on. It's about the longest movie in the world, but there was a point in the movie where Pharaoh cuts Moses loose in the desert and says, this is your new kingdom. He goes, you know, you go out, you're banished from the country, when Moses had been kicked out of Egypt. So my wife looks over at me and she's going, you know, she looks at me and I've got tears rolling down my face. She goes, you're crying. Why are you crying? It was during the point where the narrator, Cecil B. DeMille, is narrating. He says that and God had to prepare the man for stepping into what he was going to be stepping into. And it just brought tears to my eyes. And she goes, what's up? I go, this is where I'm at, man. I'm out in the wilderness. I'm getting totally transformed and changed here. And it was just an amazing experience for me. And it was right around that time that I was playing music. I'm sorry?
Can I just interject one thing here?
Sure.
Because you're sharing so vulnerably, I really appreciate it, about this big transition, you know, from corporate life into really following your heart, if you will, right? From being a slave to basic survival, which is making money and fitting into the tribe or the herd, right?
Right.
To following your own higher intelligence, your own GPS, your own passion, your own purpose. And I certainly think that that aspect of your story is relevant to probably every listener in their own way. And some of the challenges you're describing, I just want to acknowledge, can be made so much easier and gentler in those types of transitions where you're moving from living for pure survival or prestige alone to really living for your heart, truth, and joy. When you have a step-by-step system that allows you to listen to the heart and follow its guidance, because the heart can soften that detox process that you're talking about and in many cases smooth it over and make it much easier. So I just wanted to acknowledge that. And for those who are interested, the first night of our beginner course where we teach those tools is free, and it happens to be tomorrow night. So at the end of this call, we'll tell you how you can sign up if you want to learn more. But there are ways for that transition to be a little less traumatic.
Well, I wish we had met earlier.
Yes, exactly.
In fact, I would have to just kind of go along and say that, you know, if I... You know, it would have been so helpful to have tools available like this, like what you do, to make that transition, to be able to make that shift from career. And more so, it was trying to identify and get my self-worth from externalities, the amount of money in the bank, the car that I drove, and the house that I had. And that model is a futile model. You'll never be satisfied and fulfilled. Long term, you might have brief moments, but eventually that car is not going to be looking so shiny. Eventually, you're going to want a bigger house. Eventually, you're going to want to earn more money. So that was a big learning in that experience, was to shift from getting my self-worth, from getting my contentment, my satisfaction in my life internally, as opposed to trying to get it from external things. Mm. So
said, and it really summarizes what one of our advanced courses is called Heart Blueprint, operating on the premise that, you know, the heart is the first organ to form in the fetus. And just as, like, the acorn is a seed for the oak tree and has within it all the information of that tree, we say that the heart is the seed of you, if you will. You know, when you ask a group of people to point to the heart, they don't point to their temporal lobe or their baby toe. They point to the heart. So at the heart of you, in this GPS in the heart, is all the intrinsic information you need. One of our medical advisory members at HeartMath called Paul Pearsall, a physician, calls it the heart code. And in the heart is all the information you need to unfold a life that would be your maximum potential. But just like not all acorns are in an optimal environment to grow to the fruition of a full oak tree, many, many people don't live their full potential, right? Your wife in that moment when she saw you, she became a radiant source of sunlight saying, hey, you're stunting your own growth here, right?
Absolutely.
Let's get a pot of soil that's more suited to your growth and your fulfillment and your potential. And that's what the Heart Blueprints course is all about, is helping people ease into that. And what you've distinguished so exquisitely, you know, in just one sentence is that the greatest self-limiting factor on people living to their maximum potential is externally sourcing their sense of esteem and their confidence and their sense of self rather than sourcing it from inside. And the good news is that there is a step-by-step, scientifically proven process for those who need that external validation, right? Because it's not bad to need that. But there's a process that you can learn that will give you that inner sense of security and that internal reference point, because the other can be so ingrained and conditioned and strong. But
right,
that is
right.
The limiting factor on people living their full heart blueprint is the conditioning of externally referencing their value.
Absolutely.
And so thank you, Mark, for making the choices you have made without the benefit of tools, right? It goes to show you anybody can do this. But, boy, it sure helps to have, you know, a shovel and a watering can and some tools to help you along the way.
Absolutely, absolutely. And that's what I think attracted me so much to the work and your presentation and just connecting with you, because it was just right on. And you know, I don't ever look back, oh, I wish I had this or I had that, but it would have been nice to have some of those tools available. Absolutely.
Well, and of course, you've now been cultivating tools as well, so I definitely want to hear about that, right? Music itself is a tool, isn't it? A tool that can help us get back into the heart and our inner sense of self.
Absolutely. And, you know, it's amazing how things open up. You know, when we make transitions like this in our life, you know, we can tend to be very attached to how we think things are going to unfold. You know, I saw myself becoming a speaker, and actually initially when I first walked away, I started doing golf and speaking events. And using golf as a metaphor to convey enlightened success principles to business people. And it just never really moved forward. It just couldn't seem to get the momentum behind it. And I was working with a lady that was helping me develop my speaking platform. And after a month we'd been working together, I sent her a CD. And I had a friend of mine who, a very good friend of mine, who's a professional drummer. I was my next door neighbor, and he finally got on my case and said, listen, we need to make this album you've been talking about forever. So I sent her a CD of that album, and she calls me up a month later, and she's going, what is this? I'm like, oh, well, this is a music CD. You know, she goes, you didn't tell me you played music. And I said, well, no, what does that got to do with my speaking platform? And she's like going, everything. She's going, you need to start doing all your talks with the guitar and music. And I'm like, I was terrified at the idea, because I've been playing guitar for almost 28 years now, and I never shared my music in public until about 7 or 8 years ago. And I was actually terrified at the concept of expressing such an intimate aspect of myself, which I deemed was my music. I've been composing for years and doing things, and I literally had to be forced, and it was in a business group. This lady used to coach people in front of the room, and I had been in her organization for about a year and had really accomplished great results in my business. So I sent her a thank you card with a CD with two sit-down record live songs. And so she was coaching me in front of a room of 300 people, and the first question out of her mouth is, you know, what are you doing with your music, which just terrified me. I was ready to talk semiconductors, and she's going a whole avenue. I don't want to go down that road. And she started getting a little emotional to me. She's like going, you know, she's going, there are people that play music, and then there are those that can bring their heart, passion, and soul to it. She goes, you have that ability. And she said, and furthermore, you're ripping off the world by not sharing it. She goes, I want you to come back.
That's a key point that you just made for everybody listening, right? Because I work with so many people at Sierra who take our courses and who even make it to the Heart Mastery Program. And there's a certain quality that people bring from their conditioning, like, well, I can't follow my heart because that's selfish, right? And yet your heart is inextricably linked to everyone else's, which means when you live harmoniously from your heart, you are an influence of harmony throughout the universe. And you bring your value to all of us. So well said. Thank you. Yeah, I didn't mean to interrupt you, Mark, but I just had to bring that home for everyone listening.
No, that's fine.
That tapping the power and potential of your value is your gift to others. And choosing not to do that, putting yourself in environments that don't bring the best out of you or cultivate and nurture you, is you holding back your best self from the world.
Mm-hmm. And what's interesting is what happens when we do step into that and have the courage to break, you know, to move beyond our fears and to begin to express that. Because I came back with a CD for sale, and that was the beginning of how music began to weave into everything that I do today. And mm-hmm. ultimately, what it's interesting, I was playing at a wellness center about 3 years ago. And, you know, it's funny, my wife is a doctor of metaphysics. She's an energy worker and just has some amazing talents that she expresses. And, you know, I'm the corporate guy, and I would kind of tease her once in a while about, oh, you know, you metaphysical people and stuff. And she would tease me back about, you know, hard line, you know, stressed out corporate people and stuff. So it was kind of a little joke that went back and forth between us. But I was playing at a wellness center that was actually a friend of hers. And this lady that hired me comes up to me after I'm done playing, and she's going, oh, my gosh. She goes, I hear these tones in your music. And I'm looking at her with my, you know, one eyebrow raised, and she goes, nobody else can hear the tones, but I can. I'm like going, okay, sure thing. She goes, no, I'm serious. She goes, give me a CD. I know these scientists who would be very interested in your music. Well, you know, I kind of gave her a CD, kind of like, okay, this conversation's over. Here's your CD. And about 3 months later, a gentleman gives me a call who is a former top consultant from NASA, had served on 3 different presidential advisory boards for science, and had been doing a study on music and the effects of it on the energy systems in the physical body, the brain, and then also the spirit. And he had actually, around 25 years ago, had gotten a recording of a monk chanting. And they noticed in their studies that this monk chanting caused a certain physiological response in the body where there was an instant increase in strength, flexibility, endurance, coordination, and balance. And then through brain mapping, they were able to see that it actually put the brain in a harmonized state, which is the same way that the brain looks like of an athlete or an individual who's in a peak performance state. And the third criterion was that the body and the brain had to maintain that state when being exposed to negative influences in the environment. And they were really doing a lot of work around EMFs, cell phones, different types of things, and how people would go into a weakened state when using technology or being exposed to technology like that. So he had called me and said, listen, we've done testing on your music. Your music actually harmonizes the flow of energy in the body and in the brain. He goes, this is a powerful tool for for well-being and to improve the quality of people's lives. And I thought, I was skeptical, of course. The old corporate part of me initially wasn't quite ready to digest such things. And he invited me to a lecture where they were doing tests, and they invited me up to play on the stage about halfway through the program, and I see people transform physically in front of my eyes. Where they were weak, all of a sudden they're strong. Where they were unable to reach their toes, all of a sudden they're able to reach their toes. And I was completely blown away by what I had witnessed. And also,
by the way, what you're describing, Mark, is well known in science and something that the heart math science has been looking at for a number of years, and HeartMath itself also has consciously, for the purpose of enhancing vitality, developed music, and so that does that entrains the heart rhythm, and those increases in physical vitality and in physical functionality that you're describing, like greater flexibility, greater stamina, those are things that we also measurably have seen in clients that listen to our music or apply our tools. The functional capacity in, just as an example, congestive heart failure patients increase astronomically when they just learn to use one of our tools or listen to our music. And we've seen dramatic changes in DHEA levels, which is the anti-aging hormone, when people listen to the HeartMath music that was developed to increase the heart's order, the ordered pattern of the heart, or what we call heart coherence, that, in fact, stress hormones are measurably lowered just from listening to the music. Now, when you listen to the music and apply tools to consciously access your heart's intelligence at the same time, it amplifies that shift by tenfold, I think it was. So it's there's no question that music, and that's been going on for centuries, right? I know that Mozart's music has been measured to dramatically influence brain function, so that even I know some classroom teachers that play Mozart in the background because kids improve their test scores listening to Mozart.
Absolutely.
So it is so clear, right, that the entrainment capacity of music and its impact on the heart and the brain, and just how much better it makes us all feel.
Right.
No matter how skeptical your mind is, there's really no negotiating it. It's such a fabulous tool.
Oh, definitely.
And what I love about the HeartMath science is it helps us understand why that is. That's what the rock stars that I worked with were so passionate about having me come and work with their teams and their bands, because suddenly there was a scientific explanation for what they experienced on stage every night.
Right.
They get out there and they have all these people, and they can feel the unity and the charisma and the thing going on, right? But a lot of them, it was actually a source of stress that they're like, they never quite knew what the source of their charisma was. So they walked around feeling like they could lose it at any moment.
Mm-hmm.
I hear that just a tiny bit in your corporate story. It's like, okay, you're successful, but you're not really connected to your success. It's all displaced outside of you. It's externally referenced.
Right.
And when that's the case, there's always the threat of losing it at any moment.
Definitely.
And a lot of these celebs that I've worked with live in that place all the time, because they're sort of like, they don't really even know what's cultivated this massive phenomena around them. And when they got introduced to the heart, it gave them a focal point of what was actually happening in the experience of their audience because of their music. And so it allowed them to consciously create that, not just fall into it by accident.
Mm.
That's true whatever you do. When you learn how to consciously tap the power of your heart, wherever your successes or failures in life have been, it gives you a conscious portal to be able to create more success. In a true sense, in a connected sense, connected to yourself and your own essence, and tapping into that of others, in direct and genuine service to the real core of people's being. So anyway, it's just, again, I apologize for interrupting you or diving in, but you're definitely igniting my fear and my passion, and I can't wait to hear you play.
Well, I just thought I would just kind of finish up with the last part. So, I mean, this kind of, you know, we follow the directions, and what happens, you know, for me personally, when I was able to put aside my fear of expressing my music in public, but also putting aside the feelings I had about getting involved in sound healing work. My wife was about 8 months pregnant with our first daughter, and, you know, at 8 months, things get a little cramped in there. And needless to say, at certain points of the day, they decided to implement their exercise regimen, which can be a very uncomfortable experience for mom. So my wife was laying on the bed. She's like, oh, my gosh, Olivia's in here doing somersaults, honey. Would you put your hand on my tummy and just, you know, massage it a little bit? And I remember doing that, and it was like instant peace and quiet internally. And she's like going, and my wife goes to me, you know you're a healer, don't you? And I say, you know what, don't even talk to me about being a healer. I go, that's the kind of stuff they drag you out back, they tie you to a tree, and they set you on fire. I don't want nothing to do with it. And she's like going, you know, don't you think that's kind of an overreaction? And I said, no, it's not. And I just remember I was initially, when I found out about this, I was really kind of terrified of it. And I remember Doc had sat down and talked to me. He said, listen, you know, you have two choices in life. He said, you know, you can either step into your gift and use it as a gift to humanity and help improve the world, or two, you can deny it and live a life of misery. What would you rather do? I said, well, I guess I got to step into it, don't I? And out of that decision has just evolved so much. I mean, not only just the effects of the music itself, but now I've combined it with a transformational technology that I call harmonic alignment, that actually, through music, allows me to be able to help people break past their subconscious barriers. You know, we all carry limiting beliefs and different things stored in our subconscious, and it continually expresses itself in our life, in our outward experience, in our physical health. And through music, you know, music can open the door to the subconscious. You know, we've all heard pieces of music that instantly remind us of a point in time and experience that we went through in the past. And through that opening experience, through the music and combination with the work that I do, I was able to help people break past their barriers. So today I find myself with a lot of executives and professionals who are looking to bring more passion and purpose into their lives. And it's just evolved into something. If somebody had said this is what I'd be doing 5 years ago, I would have thought they were crazy. But it's just been a phenomenal experience, and if I had the opportunity, would I go back and change anything? Not a chance. It's just been the most eye-opening.
Except maybe to have some tools to make the ride a little smoother.
Well, yeah, I mean, that would have been nice too, but there's nothing I can do about that at this point. But I mean, absolutely. I mean, if you know, if there were things to make that transition easier, you know, of course, kind of my way has always, you know, been take it the rough way. But yeah, that would have certainly helped move things along quickly. But, you know, it's part of my path, but it's cool that there are tools and things available to people to help them on their journey. So,
yes,
but if you'd like,
your music is definitely one of those tools, and I want to invite you to play that in just a second. But I do want to comment on your great story about your wife, your daughter flip-flopping inside your wife and the healing that you were able to bring to her and your reaction to that word healer. Because really what we teach people here at Fiera is we don't even teach them, although it's interesting, the word teacher and the word healer in the Chinese iconography is the same word. Mm. And what we introduce people to is the physician or the healer within them. There isn't a single human being alive that isn't a healer. So there's no special person that's a healer. Introduce me to one person who skins their knee and doesn't watch it heal. Healing is part of everyone's innate intelligence, right? And when you tap into your care and your love, which is your heart, the intelligence of your heart, healing is a natural expression of every human being. And it's a natural thing that occurs when your heart is in an ordered, coherent pattern. Your hormones line up in such a way that you heal. And your healing extends outward beyond you. We know the electrical field of the heart, whether it's ordered or chaotic, extends measurably at least 8 feet beyond an average person. So with your hand on your wife's belly, it's literally your heart touching hers and touching your daughter. and the calm, the order that your heart was in brought immediate order to both of them. And that is a medicine that we all carry. And anyone can tap into it if they have tools to know how.
Right.
It's really our inherent nature. You know, one of the things that I show in our beginner course, our beginner webinar, which again starts tomorrow, is I think even Mark and Nave showed this at the last keynote that you attended, the slide of the newborn twins.
Oh,
right?
Yes, yes.
There's these newborn twins that were born 3 months premature, and the younger twin was dying. Her heart rate would not regulate, and her temperature was far below normal. It was hospital policy that they be in separate incubators. And a nurse, seeing that the younger twin was failing, put her sister in her incubator with her. And immediately, this 3 month premature infant put her arm around her sister. And within minutes, her sister's heart rate regulated and her temperature rose to normal. Her heart rate regulated in sync with the stronger twin. Tell me that's not healing, right?
Right.
Healing is our birthright. It is our innate natural intelligence. You don't have to go to school to learn how to heal. It's who we are when we're harmonious with the heart. And I know, Mark, that your music is going to help us get there tonight, so I can't wait to hear it. Are you ready to plug in and play?
Oh, absolutely. Don't have to twist my arm. Always ready to play.
Beautiful. Thank you so much. Afterwards, we'll open up the call for those of you who are listening to share your experience or ask any questions of Mark or of me that you'd like.
Cool. So I always like to kind of preface, you know, with everybody, just have them take a nice deep breath and just a nice grounding breath and just slowly exhale. And just kind of let go of all the things that we've had that have kept us busy today and just see what shows up for you while I play away and we'll go from there.
Beautiful. Thank you so much, Mark.
You're welcome. Once again, just take another nice deep breath and just slowly release it and bring yourself back to the call.
Mm. Beautiful. It's so much more elegant to experience it rather than talk about it, isn't it?
Absolutely. It really is something that has to be experienced.
That's the heart for sure. It's living it, not thinking or talking about it. diving full in, not conceptual understanding, but full impact living. Beautiful.
Thank you.
If you've been muted on the call, you can press star 6 to unmute yourself, and that will allow us to hear you. If you'd like to ask Mark any questions or share any stories of your own or ask me any questions, and in case the question and answer goes a little over time and people have to leave, I'll just let you know you can register for our free webinar that starts tomorrow night. I should say the first class in the webinar is free. By going to our homepage, www.sierra.com, to get those tools that Mark wished he'd had when he was going through his corporate transition. And you'll see at the top of the homepage, there's a place where you can register for the free webinar. You can also watch a version of that on the homepage if the timing tomorrow at 5 p.m. doesn't work for you, 5 p.m. Pacific time. And we do run those beginner webinars once a month. And if their timing doesn't work, they're all streamable so that you can watch them at your leisure if you're interested in learning the tools. So, and again, you can always contact us at 310-581-1507 if you have more questions. So, beautiful music. Thank you so much, Mark. And we'll open up the lines. Anybody have any questions or stories of your own you'd like to share?
Yeah, I have can you hear me?
Yes.
Yeah, my name is Laura. Mark, I wanted to thank you for your incredible music. It was very beautiful, and I'm wondering if there's some place I can go to buy a CD.
Yeah, I have a website. It's www.markromeromusic.com. markromeromusic.com.
Thank you very much. It's a pleasure
thank you.
For your story and to get to bask in the beauty of your music. Thank you.
Well, thank you very much. Appreciate it.
Yeah, I agree. I love it. Thank you, Laura.
This is Becky Fisher. Can you hear me?
Yeah. Hey, Becky Fisher.
I just want to thank you, Mark. It was a wonderful story, and you're extraordinary, articulate, even with having to be disjointed and telling it fragmented. You're extremely articulate, a wonderful speaker. I'm sure you'd be a wonderful art writer, and you're inspirational and motivational also, and your music is incredible. Even just such a tiny little piece of it is amazing. It's just peaceful and wonderful, and I want to thank you very much.
My pleasure. Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
Thanks, Becky Fisher. Anybody else?
Yes, it's Nicole.
Hi, Nicole.
I want to know, what song is that from? Is that on a current album?
You know, it's not.
Or is that something, is that improv?
No, actually it's not. This is a piece that I wrote the piece probably 10 years ago. It's a piece that I use for grounding and for getting people, you know, to just kind of ground in, get their energies aligned. And I've never put it on a CD or anything. I'll have to put it. I have a thing that I call the Symphony Club, where I put out application specific music. It's music composed with a certain intention and theme behind it. And it's been a piece that people ask for, but for some reason I never got around to putting it on a CD, so I'll have to put it through into the application-specific library, because it really is for kind of grounding and just, somebody had said it helps to align the energy and the chakras and things, and I've gotten some great feedback from it, but I'll have to put it in that library. I have a library of application-specific music. Created with different themes.
Mark, how can we join your symphony club?
There's a link on the website. It's once again www.markromeromusic.com, and it's a year membership. And every month, I send out an application-specific music piece with tips and ideas on how to use it. I do inspirational musical moments, which are just thoughts and ideas of, you know, how we can bring more purpose and passion into our work. I give tips on how people that are interested in transitioning from career to calling, and then I offer discounts for my sound healing programs and work that I do. And it's just a great, you know, people love it. It's a great way to get exposure to different pieces of music and, you know, kind of have a musical support structure in place.
Mm. So great. What a wonderful service you're providing, a true gift of the heart. Thank you.
Mark, this
you're
is Lauren. And first of all, thank you for your sharing your story and your music as well. I wanted to ask you, are you familiar with ohmstream.com?
No, I am not.
You should go check them out. There's some friends of mine, and it's a website you might be interested in. And they might
ohmstream.com?
ohmstream.com, yes.
You want to tell the rest of us what that's about, Lauren?
It's music. It's a website. It's where you download music, and all the music is specifically oriented toward, you know, I don't even know how to categorize this stuff, consciousness raising.
Yeah, great. Beautiful.
World beat, spiritual music. It's great. And it's Om, O-M, stream, stream.com.
Fabulous. Thank you.
Wonderful. Yeah, one of the pieces that's coming out in my next Symphony Club broadcast, I was kind of inspired by the work that Eckhart Tolle has been doing with Oprah and, you know, awakening to this aspect within ourselves. So my next featured piece for April is Awakening. And it's to get us in touch with the essence, certainly what we've been talking about on this call tonight, of with who and what we are and how we can incorporate that into our experience.
Beautiful. Anybody else want to dive in with a question and offering? Mark, is there anything else you'd like to share with listeners that would help, you know, put a punctuation mark on the wonderful gifts you've already given us? What would you like them to know about their journeys to the heart and music?
Well, I think there's a metaphor that I like to use, and of course it's the metaphor of the guitar. not that I'm biased or anything, but I am, at least when it comes to instruments. And, you know, the guitar, I love to use the guitar as a metaphor for us, for who and what we are. And the strings represent the multiple aspects and facets of who and what we are. The strumming or the plucking that we do is the action that we take in the world. And I think there isn't a person in this call that doesn't want to play beautiful music throughout their experience and just have their life be a symphony, you know, whether it be like a Mozart or something, you know, something of beauty, something of just, you know, fulfillment, an awesome expression of who and what we are. And one of the things is it doesn't matter how great of a guitarist that we are, but if our strings aren't in tune, we're not going to play beautiful music. And that's what really attracted me to your work, was that you help people string, you know, tune their strings. And I just want to thank you for having me on the call and having the opportunity to share and to express my music and share my story, and also to hear all the great work that you're up to. I really appreciate it.
Ditto. Thank you so much, Mark. I think I'm having the sense already we're going to get lots of requests to have you back and probably have more music and less talking.
Hey, I'll certainly be more than happy to do that, too.
Yeah, I think it would be great. I'm going to shut up and let you play more next time. Great. Love hearing that. Thank you for being here, and thank you all for joining us. This call has been recorded and will be archived on our site, and Mark will get you a copy of it as well, so that you can, you know, have it for your own use. And we'll look forward to joining everybody next week, same time, same place, 5 p.m. Pacific time on Monday for our next Heart Start call. And as a matter of fact, I could probably even tell you what the topic is for next week if anybody's interested and wants a sneak preview on that. I believe, where are we? Here we are. I think we're going to be actually talking to Rebecca Brown next week, who cultivated a wonderful thing called Change for Change. She saw a shiny penny on the street and decided to pick it up and start collecting change for our kids in Nicaragua, and amassed so much money in the course of a year by friends and other people to gather their loose change and put it towards change for the better for our world, that we were able to give dozens of children in Nicaragua their experience going to the city and purchase them their first shoes and take them to their first restaurant. So we're going to speak to Rebecca about change for change and how a change of heart can change everything. Mark, thank you so much for being here with us tonight and to all our listeners as well.
Thank you.
I'm sure you and I will talk soon, Mark. Good night, everyone.
Good night.
Good night.
Hello?